This is the Anderson Files on PodClip. The Anderson Files is a look at commerce, investment, economics, and retirement issues that affect each and every one of you. Your host is Mike Anderson, Executive Vice President, Retirement Services, and partner of Finestone Partners. Finestone Partners is an independent firm with securities offered through Four Point Capital. And now your host, Mike Anderson.
Servicing clients, finding prospects during the pandemic. How do you do it? I'm chatting today with Mitch Haber of One America Retirement. In the role of regional sales director, Mitch is responsible for meeting the annual sales goals in the Southern California, Nevada, Arizona, and Hawaii region. His leadership, coordination, and guidance for the regional office includes sales, marketing, and service functions. Mitch has been in the retirement planning business since 1989. He came to American United Life and One America in 2009 after a successful career at Cigna and Mass Mutual. Mitch, good morning. How are you?
Great, Mike. Thanks for having me, and it's a pleasure to be here today.
Absolutely. When did you realize that communicating was going to be different to support clients, prospects, as well as the market? When did that happen?
Mike, very vividly to me, when I landed at Los Angeles International Airport on March 12th, and I went to get my car, and I realized the parking lot was empty. And that just doesn't happen every day in Southern California. So that at that moment, my eyes got opened up that things were changing extraordinarily rapidly, and I knew that this was indeed different. So that's my moment.
And I would imagine that since then, you haven't been on a plane since?
Mike, not only that, and I'm in what they call the frequent flyer program extraordinaire and the frequent hoteler extraordinaire, and I haven't been on either since that fateful day. So my life has definitely changed, and the way I've gone about my business has changed, and the way I think about what I do has changed, and the way I think about how I serve, support, and add value, that has changed as well, and it hasn't stopped changing.
Did it come additionally from over the following days from that airport experience, reaction from clients, how they were responding, prospects, advisors? Was in succession, were they pretty much following suit and backing off?
I would say yes. So, you know, when I pulled out of Los Angeles International Airport on that day, and then the following week began, and things were changing extraordinarily rapidly, I realized that the way I communicate, the way I add value, the way I differentiate what it is that I do, and the way I help people, and the way that I have helped them, had changed. However, what did change is my desire to do all that. But what I realize is I just have to do it a little bit differently. So I really got into the idea of tapping the market and helping people deal with what was really going on. And the reality was I knew what I couldn't control. And I knew I couldn't control the virus. I really couldn't control the news. I certainly couldn't control the politics of it, and I didn't want to, but that was everywhere around us. What I wanted to control and make a difference in is allowing others to see what was available and think a little bit differently about how they thought about what it is that they do in that moment in time. And Mike, that next week was really kind of an inspiring moment for me, because I wanted to reach out and serve people, but I wanted to do it from a position of growth, and I just wanted to do it differently. And so I can elaborate on what that moment was, because it really led to the moment that I believe I'm personally in right now, and the people that I work with and work for are in right now as well.
So the lessons learned and that are still being learned, what has the shift showed you about what works and what doesn't?
That's a great question. So what I realized was for sale, and I'll use that word as a generic word, what was for sale was not a product. What was for sale was helping people with three things. And one of them was hope. One of them was a game plan. And one of them was opportunity. And so those three things, which obviously are very high level and very emotional more than substantive, those were the things that I realized during that first week that people really responded to. So I really took myself out of a product mode and put myself into more of how can I help people think through this moment, because everybody wanted to keep serving people, but the way that they had done it had changed. And what I also realized in that first week is what was for sale was talent. And when I say talent, what I meant was not everybody is good at keeping someone's attention on a webinar for 45 minutes to an hour. But some people are better at that than others. And so I started to get into who's good at that. And so the very first event, and I'll use the word event, that I did actually was on March 19th. I reached out to a friend of mine that I thought was really good at that. And so I did my very first webinar. And by the way, you're talking to someone that didn't know what Zoom, Skype, GoTo, Google, and all these different apparatuses were. I didn't know what any of that was on March 12th. But I learned it very quickly the following week. But what was different for me is on that March 19th day, when I did an event with what I'll call a professional speaker, and I had over 100 people show up for essentially a phone call on a Friday afternoon, I immediately realized, oh, this is different. Because, Mike, I don't know about you, but getting 100 people to show up for a phone call just wasn't normal for a typical Friday afternoon for me. And what I realized is how people responded to the message. And by the way, I stayed away from everything that I just said. And the theme of that message on that Friday afternoon was control what you can control. And honestly, I feel like we're still in that same mode some 5 or 6 months later, is that you can only control what you can control. And so that's really been a motivator for me ever since that March 19th day.
I'm chatting with Mitch Haber. I'm Mike Anderson, and this is the Anderson Files on podclips.io. Mitch, for those initial webinars, what audience were you drawing? Were these clients, prospects, advisors that you work with? Was it a combination of all these different groups? What was the draw?
Yeah, the reality of who I was interested in reaching changed too. So historically, before the pandemic, I would say I was pretty focused on my customer, and my customer comes in a few different shapes and sizes. It came in the form of a financial advisor. It came in the form of a consultant. It came in the form of what I like to call a plan sponsor or an end user of our services. But Mike, the reality of what I quickly learned is, and that reality is still true to this minute, what I realized is everybody, and I mean everybody, was accessible. And everybody was available because life had changed. Anybody that was doing something in a live event fashion, well, there were no live events. And so anybody that was going to kids' games, graduations, lunches, dinners, conference meetings, none of that was taking place. So whether you are the CEO, whether you are the president of an organization, or just a busy person in general, everybody became available. And so my audience also shifted, because my message of hope, opportunity, and just kind of thinking through how you can be in a time when people do need help, I just realized that you could reach a lot of different people through probably one of the most efficient means I've ever experienced. And let's call it, you know, Zoom to be a generic term, because everybody was available, Mike. And so it's still true to this moment.
Are you finding having the ability to record these webinars via Zoom, some of the other services, is that also creating leverage and the ability to communicate that these programs have a shelf life that can be used after the live event?
Yes. So I've kind of gone to school, so to speak, on what technology means, how it can be used to a business's advantage, and how it can actually make somebody look better in this time as opposed to before this time. So kind of understanding the tool, and I'll use that word, understanding the use of the tool became front and center. And I'm still learning the use of the tool, but here's what I learned. When you use the system and somebody shows up to be either entertained, to be informed, to get a message of opportunity or hope, every time they show up, you find out who they are, you have their email address, the monitoring system tracks how long they stay on for, and oh, by the way, if that person asks a question, that question becomes a legacy of the experience. And so from me providing a value-add tool to customers, what I realized is you can communicate to a large group of people in a simultaneous fashion way better than anything I've ever experienced in my working life. And Mike, what I've also learned is the number of attendees has no boundary. And so it's just a matter of being creative and frankly using part of your imagination to reach out to a marketplace to help people in a time when frankly people need a lot of help. And the way they've reached out to get help historically is no longer there. So the need to make a difference didn't go away. What went away was how we used to do it. And so through the technology and through the applications and through the experiences and the many, many different feedbacks that I've had, I've learned that this moment to me, I've been able to provide service in a variety of different ways, bigger, better, faster, stronger, and oh, by the way, more efficient than I've ever experienced in my life. That's my lesson, Mike.
Mitch, for a game plan, what are some of the best practices that you've seen from others, whether it's individuals or from organizations?
So when I think about that question, Mike, I think of a couple things. So when I've interacted with some people have responded to this better than others. And what I mean by that is some people have embraced this moment, some people have hid from this moment, and some people are just kind of in the middle. And people that, because Mike, what I've also realized is what's going on is highly emotional. And so this has become an emotional moment, not only for me as a professional, but for the people that I serve as well. And if I can help somebody address the emotions for either their customers or for the people that they care about and the people that they want to serve, I now know that that is very much very real. It's very genuine. And if there's a tool or applications, either by hiring professional people to communicate a message in a different way, I have learned that this moment is not only something that we can overcome, but actually it can be better than it was before. So I'm not sure if that exactly answers the question, Mike, but what what I thought about when you asked the question was just the emotions of the moment. And for me, it's less about the facts, but it's way more about trying to deal with people's emotions and helping them through this moment in time. Not trying to change anybody's opinion about the virus, the reality of it, the significance of it. No, that's not what it is. Everybody's got their own outlook and their own take on that. I've just tried to be real and give people an outlet to hear messages from other people that might help them kind of work through this moment in time. Because, Mike, I'm sure you'll agree, the playbook of what we're going through is being written and changes by the day.
Yeah, play by play at this point. And, Mitch, for your observation, I'm curious, do you think over the last few months, individuals have become more productive or less productive, or productive in a new way or a different way?
It's a great question. It was very common, and maybe it's even common right now, to have somebody say, "Oh boy, Mitch, I've never been busier in my life." And so that became kind of a mantra of the moment. And it's like, I get it. You're going from one phone call to the next phone call, one webcast to the next webcast. Your calendar is booked from one after the other. I'm not sure I would say that somebody has become more efficient. It's become a little almost like fool's gold to me, because it makes you feel good that your calendar is full with different meetings. But there's a lot of internal things that are going on as well. So I'm not ready to say that somebody's more efficient or more productive. I think it makes them feel that way. But I think the reality of it is I'm not sure that they really are. And because everybody's basically sitting in the same place all day. And so for somebody like me that's been more of an out and about kind of person, and people that were out and about, they're not. They're all kind of in the same place. And the scary part to me is there. I like to use this word. There's a settling in of the way it is right now. And so when I say settling in, people are starting to accept this to be normal. And maybe this is normal. And I'm not trying to go against that. But there is an acceptance that you don't go into the office. There's an acceptance of that now. There's an acceptance that you meet virtually. And so that's my personal experience of kind of what we're going through. And the whole art of being efficient, Mike, is I don't know if we are more efficient. We got more phone calls going on and more webcasts, but I don't know if efficiency is the right answer.
I'm chatting with Mitch Haber. I'm Mike Anderson, and this is the Anderson Files on podclips.io. Mitch, do you see this stopping at some point on the other side of the completion of the pandemic and a return to what we knew as normal?
What I see is, I don't know if it's going to be the way it was. We now know that the tools work. We do know that the experience of the tools and the webcasts and the Zooms and all those kind of things are effective. It's almost like being there. It's created a different type of collaboration amongst people. And frankly, it's made it easier for a number of people to get together on a more frequent basis. So I find that there's been some very positive things. What I have also learned is that maybe that it's better now than it was for my particular profession and my career, because I think you can communicate to a lot of people in a very efficient manner, very effectively, maybe better now than before. Now, I think that is genuine. I think that is real. And I think that is effective. And I think that is very productive, too, by the way. So I think there's going to be some magic that's going to come out of this that is going to be an eye-opening moment for my industry. frankly, for people that I serve, that maybe, just maybe, what we were doing wasn't as efficient, wasn't as good as it could be. And through this moment in time, it's challenged us to think a little bit differently. And on the outside of that is we've come up with some better ways to do what we do, because people still need help. And so that part hasn't changed. What has changed is how we do it. And if we can do it better through this time, Mike, I'm all in favor of that, because I think a lot of people get stuck in the way that they've done things, and it's just kind of forced everybody to get unstuck in some shape or form. So I hope that answers your question.
Having some of this magic, this discovery, continue after and when we're on the other side of the pandemic, we'll see. We'll see how it unfolds, and I know it's happening in real time at this point.
What I've learned also is, if somebody isn't feeling comfortable, there's really not much I can do and or say to change that, so I'm not going to try. And so I just accept someone for where they are and who they are, and try to adapt and flex to that particular person at that moment in time. So that's another lesson learned as well.
You've been doing a webcast regularly through this pandemic. What has been surprising to you as you think about the events and guests you've had on the One America web series?
Yeah, thanks for asking about that, Mike. So, again, dating back to March 19th, when over 100 people showed up on a Friday afternoon for essentially a phone call, I started to realize that I wanted to serve people, and I wanted to give people ideas to kind of deal with this moment. And what I started to do was I started to reach out to what I considered very talented people that I have watched and observed over the years. And talented people to me is consultants. It's people that made a living doing keynote addresses and doing live events that were for hire, for their message, for their talent, for their experience, for a number of things. These people just made a living doing conferences and things like that. And I started to reach out to these people, and I really had no boundaries. And one of the first people that I reached out to was a fellow by the name of Ryan Estes. And I'm just personally a big fan of Ryan. And he's, let's call him a business consultant. Great outlook, great attitude, and just somebody that I would really love to serve the people that I cared about. And I reached out to him through LinkedIn, Mike, again, you know, using technology. I said, hey, Ryan, this is Mitch. You don't know me, but I'm a big fan of yours. Within 10 minutes, he wrote me back. And the reason he wrote me back is because here's somebody that made a living flying on airlines, lived in hotels, bounced around the country, and in his words, he said, Mitch, I wasn't hot. I was on fire. And what he meant was, he was just booked out. And he was booked out because he was good. And Mike, everybody that did that for a living stopped on a dime. And so my eyes got opened to what was available. And again, I go back to what I said earlier. Everybody was available. And so I started to reach out to everybody. And so and these are just different people that had different messages of outlook, of business applications on how to be in this particular moment from a business perspective, from a personal perspective. I had a coaching team on that taught people how to be on camera, what they should wear, what they should say, where they should sit, all these different little nuances just being done by professionals in their own little way. I just started to get into, and I wanted to bring more of that, not less of that, but I didn't want it to be product related. I wanted it to be about helping people think about being different in a time when that was desperately needed. And Mike, I'm 6 months into it, and I'm not slowing down and I'm not stopping, because the world is available. In fact, we just had somebody on our webcast, Ash Stikes. He 12-year-old young man, but has three world records, and he's an extreme adventurer. And so his story is fascinating. His persistence is unbelievable. When things were against him, he overcame them. And Mike, that's what's been inspiring to me, to hear when people got to the edge, what did they do to get over the edge? And I think we're kind of at that moment right now. And it's been that way for quite a while. So thanks for asking about that.
Mitch, thanks for sharing all your perspective today. And for listeners to reach you, what's the best way to contact you?
Two ways. Thanks for asking, Mike. Cell phone is a Los Angeles number at 818-203-1335. And then my email address is my first name, Mitchell.Haber@OneAmerica, spelled out OneAmerica.com. And Mike, thanks so much.
We hope to have you back, and thank you to Daryl Wayne, our engineer, Mark Allen, producer. I'm Mike Anderson, and this is the Anderson Files on podclips.io. Keep calm and keep listening.
You've been listening to The Anderson Files with Mike Anderson. Visit us at podclip.io and check on the financial box for more information on The Anderson Files.